an open letter to Sean Lamp, CEO of Great Lakes Energy. Hello, Sean. A few months back, I got an email from GLE, which announced your new position as CEO. Congrats! Along with other updates about the service, fiber, internet rollout, etc. One of the things I noticed in the email was that Great Lakes Energy doesn't actually produce electricity, but buys it from a local supplier. I'm sure it's more complex than that, but nevertheless, it got me thinking. A couple years ago, Great Lakes Energy started a truly remarkable endeavor to provide fiber to the home for all GLE members, and TrueStream was born. It was and continues to be a huge project, which I'm sure cost many millions of dollars to roll out. And as a business class fiber customer at my farm in Brutus, I can tell you the efforts were successful. I'm assuming there were grants and other financial resources available to you in order to help fund the connection to so many folks who otherwise have no decent options for broadband internet service. I wonder if the same might be true for electricity. A while back, I got this email as well. Dear member, many parts of the Midwest are expected to see very hot weather during the next several days. For this reason, Midcontinent Independent System Operator, MISO, the electrical grid operator that includes Michigan and 14 other states, has issued hot weather and peak electric demand advisories. Because of the expected heat, GLE wants to remind its members to be conscious of their energy consumption during the hottest hours of the days during the next several days. We are asking this because of warnings issued earlier this year that Michigan and other parts of the Midwest may not have enough available electric power to meet peak demand. On hot days, if energy demand continues to peak even after conservation measures have been implemented, GLE may be directed to initiate a rolling blackout in which power to regions within our service will be systematically cut in 2-hour increments. And it got me thinking. Again, what if Great Lakes Energy worked with its members and facilitated the installation of solar and/or wind generation at the individual homes? Many of us are in rural locations and have the space to install systems that would not only offset carbon emissions, but with grid tying, you could buy some of the electricity you provide from your own people. Now, I'm not saying this without understanding the many complexities that exist. While solar installations would certainly help with the issue presented in the email, solar power is timed very poorly for energy needs in the winter. This is exacerbated by our eventual need to move away from burning fossil fuels to heat our homes. If we all use electric heat pumps, which we totally should and almost certainly eventually will, the demand for electricity will increase at night when the sun is not helping produce any electricity at all. Yeah, good point. We should forget the whole thing. But see, that's where Great Lakes Energy could really help blaze a trail. And who better to solve the issues of energy production, distribution, storage, and independence other than an electrical co-op who has already proven their ability to think big and actually follow through? There will always be people like me who have an off-grid inverter set up with a battery bank in order to make it through potential downtimes, and the less nerdy versions of me who have a standby generator in case things go sideways. But those solutions are very self-focused, and if we want to be leaders, we need to work together as the co-op that we are. There are so many things individuals like myself can't do alone, but a huge part of those challenges are just another Tuesday for you. Things like testing, approving, and possibly bulk purchasing hardware for grid-tied inverters, solar panels, and mounting hardware that will work well, work safely, and provide people with the appropriate hardware for their needs and/or desires. Working with local government entities to provide clear, simple guidelines, and when local governments are unwilling to cooperate, shine light on the issues so that progress doesn't die in a pile of paperwork. Work with installers, either hiring, contracting, or at the very least facilitating reputable professionals connecting with members. Or, maybe work with folks like myself, who are passionate about such things, to educate and even help people find the line between do-it-yourself and professional installations. What can we do on our own? What should we? What shouldn't we? Yeah, we already do that. Well, yeah, about that. Yes, you have multiple programs. 3 that I'm aware of, kind of. 2 of them seem like the same thing worded differently. But they're not nearly the same level of active participation as the Fiber Internet Initiative. Let's talk about them purposefully from my viewpoint because I suspect I'm more aware of these things than most folks and much less aware of the details than you. The first, Community Solar. Now, this appears to be a partnership with a third-party organization, Spartan Solar. You sort of adopt a panel, which is installed and maintained in a solar farm by the Spartan Solar folks. You pay for a panel, and you get credited by the energy it produces. I'm certain those credits are based on averages and percentages and are reduced by maintenance costs and financial solvency, et cetera, et cetera. On paper, this is very likely the absolute best way to implement solar in the most efficient way possible. The problem is, it's just a line item on a piece of paper. And apart from an abstract good feeling, there aren't any real benefits to the end user. If your power goes out, your adopted solar panel doesn't know, doesn't care, and will not keep your cell phone charged so you can watch Netflix during the ice storm. I suspect the interest in community solar isn't zero, but also isn't earth-shattering. It's just moving numbers on a monthly bill. If we're going to change the world, it needs to feel real. When you produce power on your roof, and you can see graphs of output and usage, things change. If you want to see someone get radical about energy savings, show them the data. Not abstract kilowatt hours of monthly usage, but daily watts produced and stored versus watts used. The reason people don't take climate change seriously is they don't experience it firsthand, at least not in a way that feels real and addressable. Am I suggesting that we gamify our electrical usage? Yes! Members connected reliably to the internet with fiber only makes that more possible. If people realize it takes a dozen huge solar panels and full sunlight to run their air conditioning, it becomes a tangible reason to add insulation and get better windows. Net metering and buy all, sell all. Now, from what I can tell by reading the PDF files, which were clearly written by lawyers, this is the ability for a limited number of members to pay extra for a smart meter and then sell back excess energy they produce. This is great, truly. That said, I have no idea if the 10 megawatt limit specified in the document has been reached or if the program is still available. I also don't have any idea how much extra members need to pay for smart meters to facilitate the process. And most importantly, the how-to bit is not only confusing, but intimidating and pretty much unattainable without lots of professional investment. Such things are complicated and intimidating. I get it. When you add governmental regulations, both local and regional, it's a non-starter for the vast majority of folks, even myself. But like I mentioned above, these regulations and interoperability with governments are what you do every day. What if there are a group of local installers, electricians, buying cooperatives, like GLE, and people who know the intricacies of rolling out a real community-based initiative? What if you could show graphs on your website of the percentage of power purchased from members versus a third party? What if a farmer with a south-facing clearing could install enough solar panels to make a bit of income each month while supplying all their own power, heating, and cooling needs? Yeah, okay, sure, but that's not a plan. Well, right. My hope is that we can make it easier for people to install things like solar. And this will require several things. First, education. And this is the part I can actually help accomplish. Remember when I was one of the first folks to get fiber internet installed and y'all took pictures, etc.? It's okay if you don't remember. You weren't there personally. Well, let's expand on that idea. Let's highlight various solar, wind, battery, inverter installations that members have in place or plan to put in place. I'm an educator who's comfortable making video. Let's show people what's possible. Second, easy access. Most people I know with solar installations got the hardware and labor as part of a contract, which makes their payment and saved electrical usage just about a wash. Now, that requires capital, and I would bet there are government grants to help facilitate such things. I'm really nerdy and really into this stuff, yet I have no idea how to get something like solar panel systems installed using that type of method. Now, that's partially on me, but it points to a bigger problem. No one knows what's possible, much less how to accomplish it. And third, incentive. It needs to be sexy. There is so much more we need to do other than just putting solar panels on houses. But getting people to be active participants in the energy conversation seems like a really good first step. This is mostly marketing, but wouldn't it be great to have an actionable alternative to the rolling blackouts mentioned in the email above? Use less power is an admirable goal, but long-term, it's not sustainable. Our future will be powered by electricity, and being proactive about scaling our power needs before garages are filled with electrical vehicles seems like an even more admirable goal. I truly can't think of any other entity more poised to lead the way towards a cleaner, more self-sufficient nation. Once we are more actively involved with producing electricity and owning the process, things like transitioning away from propane furnaces become a much easier conversation. But the first step is to get people interested in having the conversation. And making everyone an active part of the process Seems like a good place to start. So drop me a line, Sean. Let's change the world, starting in one of the most unlikely places, our own backyards.